You gotta take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Chronicles 16 and verse 4 says, he's talking about David, appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Looking at that and thinking, first of all, the idea that somebody was appointed to thank the Lord. That was their job, that was their ministry, that was their function, that was their purpose. They were given this job to thank the Lord. It seems like sometimes we always think, okay, I've got to feel it. I've got to have some purpose in it. I've got to have some feeling, something bubbling up, some emotion, or some debt or gratitude or whatever, but that's not the case. We can thank the Lord because we've been appointed to thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord because it's the right thing to do to thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord because we've just decided that today's the day we're going to thank the Lord. And I'm thankful for today.
Amen.
I'm thankful for this meeting. I'm thankful for a time that we've set aside for what we're going to do, our purpose, our function, our joy, our whole gathering together today is to thank the Lord. But I just really enjoyed this idea of these people. David appoints these Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. He says, this is going to be your job. He's just moved the ark to Jerusalem. He's put it in this big new tent and he's made for it. Got this whole tabernacle. He starts organizing and says, every day we're going to have somebody stand here in front of the ark, in front of the place where we keep the ark, and they're going to thank God every day. Says in there, we're also to record. My thinking, I could be wrong, but my thinking is, every time somebody came in with a sacrifice and I want to thank God, they wrote it down. They made a record of it, and they thanked the Lord with it. They gave praise and they gave thank the Lord. This was their job and their function, to thank the Lord. I just think that's wonderful that there was somebody set up and assigned the job of thanking the Lord. I think more of us would be better off if we just had it in our hearts and in our minds and in our way of thinking. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to make it a point to thank the Lord. I had some people ask me some questions recently, and I keep telling them, get up every morning and thank the Lord. Make it a point. In the morning, I'm going to thank the Lord because that helps my attitude. That helps my day go better. I get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. I don't care if I feel like it or I don't feel like it. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You saved my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I've got so many blessings. Thank you, Lord. If everything was going wrong, it's still good to thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's worthy of my thanks and my praise. And this whole chapter is about thanking God. Thanking Him that His mercy endureth forever. He's good and His mercy endureth forever. It's a wonderful chapter. Six times in this chapter talks about thanks or thank. Giving thanks to God. It's a wonderful chapter. Then if you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 5 and verse 13. This is about, in my estimation, 25 or 30 years later. These priests, these Levites, have been thanking God in the tents, in the tabernacle, before the ark of the Lord for 30 years, more or less. Solomon builds his temple. And he gets it all finished, and they're having the dedication, and they're doing all the sacrifices and everything else. And it says in verse 13, it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Can you imagine a celebration, a Thanksgiving service where God got so happy He came down and filled the house and just filled it with His glory? That's what happened today.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for today. I'm looking for a day when Thanksgiving just resounds as one, as a church, as we thank the Lord as one. We praise the Lord as one. We give God the glory as one voice. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Where?
Thank you.
see number 37. Those people are gone and are with the Lord because that's 40-something years ago, and they were old whenever I started coming here. But just to think of God and His greatness, God and His faithfulness, God and His goodness throughout the years, that we can trust today of God, our God, the great God, that He's going to remain faithful. Because if He's remained faithful in my life, and we can go back in y'all's life and see how He's been faithful in your life, and then read the Bible and see how God is faithful in the Bible, we have a God that we can trust.
Amen.
You know, He's not like this, gone today, here today, gone tomorrow. And the song that I asked to sing, The Family of God, that was one of the first songs that I remember singing here. And there was a lady, an elderly lady, Miss Pips, and that was her favorite song. And every meeting she would sing, she would ask to sing The Family of God, and she was happy to be a part of that family of God. And I can say today, I'm thankful to be a part of the family of God. You know, some of us don't have a lot of family left. We don't have a lot of family that want to have anything to do with us. But, you know, for some reason, we have a family here.
Right.
And the verse I'd like to share is in Psalm 122. And Psalms 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, I remember days and times in my life that it was good to go someplace just to have fellowship. But, oh, there's no comparison to the fellowship we have here. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment and thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that from thee. And what I see here, he was glad when they said, and our feet shall stand. You know, it's a personal relationship with the Lord that each one of us should have, a personal walk with the Lord. To know Him, to love Him, to feel Him, to know His presence. But then is another thing to have the community, unity, going to the house together to praise the Lord,
Amen.
To give thanks. And that's what they did. There were people designated. And, you know, maybe I'm just a doorkeeper down here, but I want to be one of those people in heaven. And they even here that are designated to praise the Lord, designated to thank the Lord. And that's what we're here today to do, is to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord. And I'm just thankful for you, my brothers and sisters, my family, that I love.
In Hebrews 13:15,
amen,
it says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. For Debbie and I, 2020 has been a little rough. We lost her dad and lost mom. But I can say that over the years of being married to Debbie, she's been faithful to witness to her parents. She's witnessed to my parents. I've talked to her mom and dad and my own mom and dad. Her parents got saved along with her grandmother. My dad, I know for sure, got saved. My mother, I'm not sure of. But I found comfort knowing that sometimes God answers prayers even when we don't know.
Amen.
But I tell myself that only Jesus and her know for sure. And God saved my soul, that I'm sure of.
Amen.
And I praise God for doing that. I give Him the glory and the honor for doing it. And even though it's been a rough year, it's not as bad as it could have been.
That's right.
Yesterday, at my house, we got 2.5 inches of rain.
Praise the Lord.
And all I could think of was, praise God. Praise God. And I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it. But we should always give God thanks, and we should always do it in the name of Jesus. I listened to preachers on TV, and there was even one here in San Antonio. He had 20,000 people in front of him. And he said, we pray in the name of the one that saves. Well, depending on what religion you go to or have, depends on who you're praying to. It's Jesus that saves.
Amen.
And Jesus only.
Right.
And I came out of a religion that they covered every basis that you could come up with. But there's still only one name that saves, and that's Jesus Christ. And then also in the Psalms 107, verse 8, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work to the children of men." You know, for us that are saved, we've been blessed beyond measure. I mean, you can't really even describe how it feels to get down on your knees and confess you're a sinner and then stand up and realize you don't have any weight left on your shoulders. It's gone.
Right.
And like me, I cried like a baby that day. I couldn't help myself. I was trembling and shaking. It's like I'm getting ready to do it all over again.
Praise the Lord.
But I worked with a guy that knew me 30-something years ago, if not longer. And when I started working for him, we were out in Batesville. And I realized then, and I've realized that over the years, God has made changes in my life, but it was important to me because it's one instance we were out there helping a guy harvest some cotton. And after we were done for the day, this gentleman came up and offered me a beer, and I told him I don't drink. And he told me, "So you can have one." I said, "No, I don't drink." This went on a couple of times, and finally I told him, "Look, I don't drink, don't want one." And he left me alone. A couple of days later, it happened again, except this time, this buddy of mine that I worked with, the gentleman asked me, "Would you like a beer?" This guy just immediately stepped in front of me, and he told him he doesn't drink. He told he doesn't. Now leave him alone. And I just felt like, okay, this guy knew who I used to be, but he knows who I am now. And he took a stand for me, but he knew how I was because I've also talked to him about Christ. And I think that's what this verse is saying. You should talk to the children of men, not only saved people, but
sure,
lost people. Because they're really the only hope that we can give them through Jesus Christ is for us to tell them how we got to where we are, the changes that it's made in our lives. So I want to give God the glory and the thanks for all of the changes that He's made in my life and for saving my soul. Well, praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. While you're in Psalms, go back a couple of pages to Psalm 100. We know this psalm by heart. We sing it quite often, but sometimes you can read it, sing it, and just not really pay a whole lot of attention to it. I mean, I have sung and loved this psalm for many years, but just think about this. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." There's a verse 4 there, right, sort of in the middle of the psalm, and it's the one verse, it's got some significance for a couple of reasons. It's the only verse in the Old Testament that mentions thankful. The Old Testament says thanksgiving all the time. But this is the only one in the Old Testament that says thankful. Be thankful unto Him. And this is the only verse in the Bible that mentions both thanksgiving and thankful. Now, first of all, understand that there's a difference between thanksgiving and being thankful. Because one is the doing and the other is the heart. The other is inside. And the doing is important. Both of these things are important. You can't leave off one and think you're fulfilling it. But in the Old Testament, it's all about thanksgiving. Except this verse right here. It's all about thanksgiving. There were sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's what they're called, sacrifices of thanksgiving and peace offerings. And then there's also the thank offering, it's called. The thank offering. Two different ways of having an offering. Something you do in order to demonstrate thanksgiving. And right here, look at what he says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God expects us to make a joyful noise. And you serve the Lord how? With gladness. Wow, that's something. Come before his presence with singing. This is telling you how to do it. And it's important to know Amen. How to do it. He says, know ye that the Lord is God. He made us, not we ourselves. All of these are huge, important doctrines that we need to know. God made us. We are not our own idea. He deserves thanksgiving. Amen. He deserves us to take some time Amen. And say thank you. Now, know that thanksgiving is the actual doing of it. That's where you actually say thank you. And know that thankfulness is the feeling of it in the heart, where you have the attitude that, you know, I'm really, really thankful. Both of those are very important parts of this. You can do one without the other. You can be very thankful in your heart and never open your mouth. You really can. I know that it's true. There are people who are thankful, but they could not open their mouth for the life of them. It's just too hard for them, whatever. But both of these are important. Thankfulness. But I just want you to notice what he says here. After he says, be thankful unto him and bless his name, he tells you why. For the Lord is good.
Amen.
The Lord's been good to me.
Amen.
My, he's good. He was good in that when I was a teenager, he came to me. That sounds mysterious, but it was very clear. He came to me. He made it clear to me that he wanted me. He was calling me. And, you know, I was just amazed by that. That's just goodness of God. He was thinking about me. You know, when you go and talk to somebody about Jesus, you're thinking about them. That's the reason why you go to them. You're thinking about them, and they ought to recognize that. You're thinking about them. Well, God was thinking about me. And I don't know why. I don't know what the basic reasons underneath it, but God was thinking about me. And you know what he was saying? I got something good for you, because I'm good. That's the way God is. He's been good to me. His mercy is everlasting. I'm so glad that his mercies fail not. That they're new every morning. I'm glad that his mercy doesn't depend upon my faithfulness. I'm glad that his mercy doesn't depend on my fulfilling my duties. I'm glad that his mercy has to do with his mercy and not with my abilities or my accomplishments. And his truth endureth to all generations. You know something? God is so good to me. He's given me a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, wonderful kids, and wonderful grandkids. Better than all y'all's. It's true. But I just want to tell you that I bless God. I thank God for what he's given me.
Amen.
And not only do I want to say thank you, like the Old Testament so much is about doing, and the New Testament is so much about having it in your heart. And that's a very important point, because in the New Testament, thankfulness is also more important than it is in the Old Testament. It seems like the heart is more important. But I want to be thankful in my heart, and I want to say it with my mouth. I want to be more open. I want to serve him with gladness. I want to say, God, thank you. I want to lift up his name. If there's some way I can give him glory, this is the only way. It's the only thing I know how to do. What else do you have to offer God? I got nothing else to offer him.
Right.
So I offer him that sacrifice of thanksgiving, giving thanks to his name.
Amen.
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 Psalm 75. Just that first verse says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Just thinking, because I think over the years, and even right now, during November right now, I see a lot of people giving thanks, but I don't know who they're giving thanks to. It's really interesting because
it's true.
They never talk about God, they never talk about Jesus. There's a lot of them that don't even believe in God. And yet, they want to say the same thing, like, oh, yes, blessed and thank, I'm thankful. but they're not really thankful to anything in specific. And I think you know, I don't really understand what that means. You know, if you're not thankful to something in specific, then what does it mean? What are we thankful for? To yes. Who are we thankful? If we're just saying thanks. Well, no, it's actually, there's a receiver, right, of our thankfulness.
Amen.
And that's what he says here. He says, unto thee, O God, we give thanks. That needs to be very clear. Yeah. We are thankful, but we're not just thankful out and, you know, just throw it out there and see where it goes. No, I'm very specific. I am thankful to you, Lord. Yeah. God, the Creator. Yes. Thank you, Lord, my Savior. I want it to be clear. I'm thankful to you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Because you are the one that deserves my thanks, my praise. I'm thankful unto thee, O God. And I just wanted to make that clear. That was because it's been in my mind that, you know, everybody, all these people are thanking, you know, rocks or something. I don't know what they're thinking. But you know, it's clear. We're thankful unto thee, O God. And he just says something that I think is really important. Thy wondrous works declare, I just want to declare, you know, his wondrous works. And I want to say, I'm one of his wondrous works.
Amen.
I'm a work. It took a lot of work, I think, for God. You know, he's done so much in my life.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know where I would be without him intervening.
Yeah.
Because I know he did. I'm wicked. I know it. I know since I was a kid. I mean, I was a kid and I remember doing things like that were really bad. I remember stealing from my parents. I would steal money from them. And I was just wicked. And God just has been working with me all the time. Even through that, he gave me parents that taught me, that were able to teach me what is wrong and what is right. And I learned that one pretty quick. You know, don't do that. But it's just been thing after thing. He's been teaching me and working with me and making me more like him, I think. It's just an amazing work that he's done in my life. He's given me a wondrous wife. And the work he's done in her life is just amazing. You know, I see the change he brought to her and her family and the work that's been there. And then the work to bring us together and to let us have this unity and then to raise children. You know, I think the goal is to raise them up so that they can also be thankful and praise the Lord. Because it's just, it's him. It's his work. It's what he's done. His work, the work that he has done, is just amazing. It's marvelous. The work he's done in our churches, I think, just, it's an amazing work. This is the work of Christ, right? He came to build his church. What an amazing work he's done. He hid it from the wise, and he revealed it unto babes. I mean, and really, we go to, you know, Mexico and Poland, even here, we look around, and the people that he's saved, the work that he's done, it's really amongst, you know, normal people. Not many wise, not many rich, not many, it's just really normal people, but yet he's done such an amazing work in their lives. Each one of them, each one of us, what a work he's done.
Yeah.
Boy, I just want to declare, Lord, you have done wondrous, marvelous works. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And you're near to us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 115. Beginning in verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us,
amen,
but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy, for thy truth's sake.
Yeah.
Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. We have a great God.
Yes.
You know, of all the religions of the world, our God is the God.
Amen.
And the comparison, there is no comparison, really. There is no comparison. I mean, the religions of the world are vanity. We have a living God that has influence in our life. And I'm so thankful for that living God. I'm thankful for His moving of the Spirit in my own personal life and in your lives as well. I'm thankful for the church that God has given us and the work of the Holy Spirit in the church. I'm thankful for my wife and the blessing that she's been, our family. We're all blessed. But there's some other things that I'm thankful that sometimes we may forget about. I wrote just a few things down because I had this experience recently. You know, I'm thankful I can see. That is a blessing.
Amen.
I think sometimes we forget about that until you can't see. We have a house in Toronto. They have the house of the blind. They let you go, and the lights are completely turned off, and they have actually the blind family that guide you through the experience of what it's like to be a blind person. Believe me, you don't want to be doing that. But I did find out that it's very interesting that blind people never bend over this way. They always bend down. Why? Because you and I, we can see what's ahead of us, and we know there's something. Well, a blind person can't, and they'll be smacking their head all the time. What a blessing it is to be able to see.
Yeah.
Just to go out at night and be able to see the stars.
Amen. Yes.
Wow, what a blessing. To go to the Grand Canyon and see that great vast canyon.
Yeah.
To stand on Sunset Beach and watch the sun go down. To watch the lapping of waves coming in and out on an ocean beach. What a blessing it is to be able to see. To see your wife's lovely face. What a blessing. To see the words in the pages of a book.
Yeah.
Wow. That's something that I can do now, which is amazing. I can even read the numbers on the wall. That's just amazing. What a blessing. Be able to read numbers on a wall, or the words on a sign, or the leaves on a tree.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I didn't realize that trees had leaves. I thought they were made like, you know, how kids draw the tree with they draw a round thing and then they color it. That's what I thought trees were until I got new glasses. And I'm going, wow, what a blessing in this episode. What about smell? Have you thought about the smell that the Lord has given us?
Yeah.
What a blessing. Couldn't you risk it? Turkey in an oven? That smells good. Lumber in a lumber yard? That smells good.
Amen.
You ever walked in an HEB? That smell? You're all thinking about it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't know that I can describe it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. How about when you cross the border in Laredo? That's a distinct smell.
Yeah.
How about when you land in Warsaw and you get out of the airport? Boy, that's a distinct smell. Just think about garlic, stale smoke, and old vodka. You can imagine those. That's what it's like. Or the old buses. You get on the bus. How about standing at a gas station filling your tank up with gas? You smell. How about in an oil rig? How about in a lumber yard? How about pickles? You ever go to the, I do this all the time. I go into the refrigerator, just grab the pickle jar and open up and smell. I don't even get a pickle. Well, sometimes I do, I have to admit. But it's the smell. These are the blessings of the Lord. What a God to create us.
Yes.
What amazing things that God
has done.
What about the fact that we actually have touch?
Yeah.
Just to be able to touch and feel things and then move your hands. What about being able to walk, Bill, without pain on the bottom of your feet? What a blessing that is. This is a God that we serve, and we serve a great God, and I'm thankful that we have a living God. And not a dead image.
Amen.
In Job chapter
37,
verse 37, it says, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend. And this is actually talking about really marvelous things that God does.
but I can't even comprehend the simplest things like his provision to me. I was at a loss at how he's just placed in his church. Like, can you imagine that? Like, I was just literally born, like, I'm not literally born in church, but I have a picture of me and my mom is holding me as an infant in front of the sign right there. And I never had to go down the path of self-destruction. God just used this church and my parents and so many other things and just preserved me. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
My parents that are just morally upright and sound in the word of God and raised me to have values and all these wonderful things. I'm just so grateful for them and for you all to be under this teaching at such a young age. I had such a benefit over other even younger Christians that don't have such a wealth of wisdom available to them. And I'm so thankful for just simple provisions. And I'm really thankful for you, Mary. She's my best friend, and the Lord just gave me her and her to me, too. And just so many small, simple things. My job, my house. And I can't comprehend it. It's things, and I'm like, if I comprehended these things that it's actually talking about, I'd probably die because I can't even comprehend these simple things that God gives me. So a lot of like what Brent was talking about, we have a song that we want to sing that Brother Spurgeon sang to us. So y'all might know it. So if y'all can sing it, I feel like it's pretty specific to Americans, but we just think it has some very, very great truths in it. We just want to thank the Lord for all these things that we have.
Amen.
So feel free to sing with us if you know it. Thank you.
saved and blessing them.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the Lord for us being here, worshiping Him,
yeah,
and give all the honor and glory to the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I want to thank for the Lord blessing me with a wonderful wife and a wonderful daughter. And I want to thank the Lord too that very soon I'm going to be a grandfather.
Oh. Amen.
I want to give all the honor and glory to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being there, and
Believe me, when you go through something and you don't know what to do, don't run away from the church. That's the worst mistake you can do. What you need to do is come find somebody that you can talk and you can ask, because the Lord used these men, these women to talk to us. And I'm just so thankful for our church.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
I'm going to try to read this out without trying. In Joshua 24, starting verse 16 and 17, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. Starting with reading verse 14. Therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve me the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. And I'm going to stop there and just, I sit back and I think about all the opportunities I've had in my life, and all started with a legacy of a man who chose to serve the Lord, who chose to walk away from everything and serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for that, because he raised children to serve the Lord, who raised children to serve the Lord. And I have a child who is not a church in life. She will be able to grow up knowing the Lord,
yeah, praise
the Lord, and hearing her full scripture too. Melt my heart, because I look at this world and it terrifies me. How do I, as a single woman, raise this little girl and love the Lord and serve him right? But I have a legacy that God gave me to give to her and to give to the children that live in my home. And that's just such an incredible blessing to me. Everything I have is because people decided to serve the Lord. There are so many people in the world who never lived God and went on, and I know it so well I memorized it. That's an incredible blessing. And I'm just so grateful.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Can we sing 31 of the supplement, please? 31.
praise you, O Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Yes.
From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens.
Yeah.
Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself, to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may stand on with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. I just want to give the Lord thanks for it.
Yeah.
He made me a joyful mother of children. I have four children, and one of them is here with me. But he also added to the family my son-in-law, David. And I do want to thank the Lord. And then he's going to add another addition, my grandbaby. And I want to thank the Lord for that, that he gave me so much grace all these years to raise my four children, to be a mother and a father to them. And to, you know, to teach them the way of the Lord. Some of them go astray, but I still do pray for them.
Yes, yeah.
And I ask that y'all would also pray for my son, Bernie. He's supposed to be going to court tomorrow. And we've been telling him about the blessing of this church, the Bible study, the brethren, all the ministry that we've received. And he's like, I want to go. He said, I want to go there. He said, do they street preach? I want to street preach. He said, because I've been witnessing the people here, and it's been a blessing. He said, I think the Lord might may have put me here to wake me up again.
Yeah.
And so I just thank the Lord that even his chastisements are good.
Yeah.
Even though to us they may be grievous sometimes, but they're really to bring us back to him.
You know?
And I thank the Lord that he loves us so much, and he does chastise us when he has to. Because he loves us, not because he hates us, but because he loves us and wants us for himself. Because after all, I thank the Lord for saving my soul, and my life is to be giving him the glory. He deserves all the honor and all the glory and all the thanksgiving and all the praise. And I just thank him. And even now, like Sister said, we've gone through a lot this year, but I thank the Lord that he's still on the throne. He's still in control. And he still blesses us every day. So I just wanted to thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
In John chapter 7, verse 37. I'm also thankful for all my family, or the church, which I consider my extension of my family. But just a huge blessing to be in a church that you're taught in and even reprimanded in, and sometimes people have to tell you what not to do, and that's also beneficial. But just thinking, I remember when I read about Jesus, that I remember reading the Gospels for myself when I was like 15, and I remember being blown away by Jesus. Like, I didn't even know what the difference was, but now I understand that he is so far above any other human being that, it will set a standard so high that you can't look at other people and think, oh, that's fine, that's normal. But what Jesus did, he was astounding. But one of the things that he said in chapter 7 and verse 37 of John, let's start at 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of peace, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I just picture this God-man standing there in the middle of the feast, crying out unto anybody who would hear, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And just the fact that God calls out to us has been a huge blessing to me throughout my life, because it hasn't just been the once. He's called out to me and drawn me to him many, many times over my life and through chastisement and through other people. But I just thank God that he is called and he woos and he draws us back to him.
Amen. Amen.
I've been thinking recently about, there's these arguments that, you can lose your salvation or you can, give it up or whatever. Jesus is the one who keeps drawing us back. He goes after his own sheep, says he knows his own. He doesn't let them just
Praise
be stranded somewhere and not come back to him. But I'm thankful for that. But then it also says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He that believeth
on me. And I think that God has given us the opportunity through His Spirit to do great things with Him and on His behalf, which is amazing. To be able to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's a great gift, because you have this gift given to you. It's not like you conjured it. You were given something, and you are now able to do something with it. And I've seen how there's this creek nearby where they're building a house, and it's all stopped up. You can't see that there's a creek here, but all it takes is constant, like, just if somebody goes in there and if somebody's taking care of it, the water will flow. But in a lot of places, you get kind of stifled where you're taught that you're supposed to sit down quietly. Not here. You're taught that you move those rocks out of the way and let it flow. And you're not taught to just sit there still or quiet. And if you can't speak, if you don't have confidence to speak, then do something else. But get those rivers flowing. And I just think that God gives us that opportunity. I've been given that opportunity and encouragement in this congregation. And I can't imagine... I don't even know how many things God has in store for me. And it's just beyond imagining. But what I do know is from what I can see, He is wonderful, gloriously wonderful. And I know we go through hard times, and we sometimes think that those hard times, you know, are going to last forever. And, you know, you read the book of Job, and you think, that's like all we know about Job. But God blessed him abundantly. God's, the norm is blessing. His normal way of being is just abundance and goodness and blessing and just constant over and over. You start so much so that you start to forget the beauties of the wonders of the things that He gives you, like your sight and your feeling and all those things. And I just want to thank Him and thank you guys. I love the Lord my God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Can we see 463 in the red book?
453 in the rhythm.
63.
463 in the rhythm.
Fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And you know what?
on the worst year you ever had, you got to give God thanks. Most trouble you're in, you ought to give God thanks. You know, just the experience of living.
Yes.
Those things you saw and could enjoy because you could see. Those things that you heard and they were pleasing to your ears that you could hear. The friends and family that have gathered around you, helped you, lifted you up, prayed for you, been kind to you. Wow. You need to tell God thank you.
Amen.
You know something? God is a great giver. Do you realize that, and some of you may be real discouraged in your life at this time, or have been in time past. But the thing about what you get with life, you get eyesight, you get visions and visions, and you see colors. And life just lets you hear wonderful, beautiful things. This morning, blessing my heart to hear you praise God. To know that He's worthy of praise on your worst day. He gave you life. He has moved in upon you. He's touched your life.
Yeah. Amen.
He's blessed your life. And He needs to give thanks. And this is one of the things that we need to do. And notice one word there. Continually. Amen. By Him, Jesus. Therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. To God continually. You don't have a right to have a bad day where you can't say thank the Lord. You really don't. Because the experiences that you've had and that are in life, wow, you're absolutely tremendous. And then I read about what God has created, what He's done, and they rejoice my heart. I'm glad God created all these things. I'm glad there's something out there to interest me. I'm glad I've got friends and family. I'm glad I've got somebody else that has a vision for Christ and are thankful because their sins are forgiven. I remember that heavy load falling off of me when I was 20 years old. I've been in church a whole lot. I knew what sin was, but I was really not saved. And when I got saved and I realized the load of my sin, all of my rebellion in my mind, and all of the things I'd actually done just fell off of me. Went on Jesus. Praise God. I've been praising God for that for 63 years.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wow! God came into my life and changed it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And by changing it, by the grace of God, He's changed a few other lives along the way. I just think this is a tremendous verse, and it's a great instruction, and it would be a great habit of life. That not only just once or twice a year, or every once in a while, continually, daily, monthly, yearly, you be a thanker and a praiser of God. Amen? It'll bless your life. I laugh sometimes. People give me a hard time about being optimistic. My wife said I was an eternal optimist. But at any rate, yes, I am. I just believe an optimist has more fun on the trip. And I think you ought to, any Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, having the Word of God in your hand, and being in fellowship with other Christians, ought to be praising God continually. Amen?
Amen.
I enjoyed the praise. Thank you for the praise. And I want to praise God for the praise.
Amen.
Amen. Look in the book of Job in chapter 11. One little phrase that one of Job's friends Zophar said, and his motivation for saying it was totally wrong, but the truth in it is correct. If you look in 11 and verse 6, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. And of course, he was trying to get Job to admit that there was some secret sin in his life that caused him to deserve all the calamity that was coming on him. And they were convinced that there had to have been something, because this kind of trouble, this kind of tragedy just doesn't happen without a reason. You know, that was their thinking and that was their argument towards Job. And of course, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of seeing from the very beginning the conversation between God and the devil. And so we see it a whole lot clearer than Job or his friends saw.
Right.
But it says right here, you know, he makes the statement, and the statement is absolutely true. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than I did when he deserved it. And so he was trying to say, what, all of these things that happened to you, Job? He said, you deserved more. He deserved worse. And when we realize our sinful nature and our condition, then that is absolutely true. Some people, they accuse Christianity and people that follow Jesus Christ of being too self-deprecating and too self-abasing, but it's not that, and it's not a case of low self-esteem. It's not a case of a depression. It's just that we have the realization that what we have is less than what we deserve.
Amen.
And I can think of all kinds of things that I'm thankful for. Just had an amazing weekend. Got to spend it with my family. My kids came in. We got to spend some time with them. That was a blessing. To have good fellowship with your kids. You know, we have a good relationship with all of them. I trained them early on that when they get old, to get out and make their way in the world. And it kind of backfired on me because they did. They went out and made their way in the world. But they come home every now and then, and we get to fellowship with them. And I, you know, of course, thank God for my wife. I understand that she married me for my money, but, you know, it doesn't matter. At least I got her, you know, whatever the reason. But I thank God for her. And when I think of these things that I have, a faithful wife, kids, and a job, and a house to live in, and all of these normal temporal things that can go away in a minute, I think, man, I didn't deserve any of this. I didn't deserve not having my iniquity held against me. Man, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Catholic family, but we were Catholic culturally, but not necessarily religiously. My grandparents were, of course, very faithful, dedicated, and religious. But my house was more divided, and I grew up with not much reverence for God. I don't deserve to be here because of all those times that God was a joke to me, that I made horrendous jokes at God's expense, that I made fun of, I mocked Jesus Christ, I mocked the things of God, I mocked the people of God. I took his name in vain. There was a time when the name of the Lord was mingled in with every other cuss word that you could imagine, and my mouth was filthy, not just with filthy words, but with words against God. I remember having an attitude against God. I remember thinking that, you know, God had done our family wrong, you know, that the things that had happened in my life weren't right and it was God's fault. But you know, those things began to change over time. And I remember through a series of events that I'm not going to go through the time to explain or to try to tell, but through a series of events in my life, things, my perspective towards God started to change.
Amen.
And as I began to lose some people that were very, very close to me, some of them in suddenness, you know, in violence, that I began to think, you know, man, what if I die? You know, usually 20-year-olds, 19-year-olds, they don't think about dying. You know, it's always going to happen to somebody else. It's never going to happen to you. But I started contemplating my mortality, and then I got scared. I wasn't scared because I did a bunch of evil things. The thing that made me fear the most was that I had said all these things about God. I had said these things to his face. And man, if I die, I don't stand a chance. I was scared. I was literally scared. I wasn't necessarily scared of dying. I was scared of hell.
Yeah.
And I was a good Catholic, so one thing that the Catholic Church did teach me is that there is a hell, and the nuns would remind me of it all the time. There is a hell, and if you don't shape up, you're going there, you know? I knew there was punishment. I knew there was justice. I knew that sin had to be answered for. I just knew this in my heart. And I was scared because, man, if I die, I don't stand a chance with God. And I remember, you know, making deals with God, you know, God, get me out of this situation, get me, you know, and I made a bunch of deals with God, and I broke every deal that I made with God. But then there was a time when I finally met some Christians, and the gospel was opened up to me for the first time in my life, where I could give Him all of this filth, all of this rebellion, all of this mockery, all of this, all of my hateful words. I could give it all to Him, and He in turn would give me righteousness.
Amen.
He would take my sins and give me righteousness. Man, I didn't deserve that. I tell you, when I got saved, I'm the same way. It was like, man, it was a different world.
Amen.
It was amazing when I finally realized that I could have eternal life even though I didn't deserve it. I thank God all the time for being saved. Some people, you know, the gospel gets old, salvation gets old. It doesn't get old to me.
Right. Amen.
Because I knew what I know what I deserve. I know to this day what I deserve.
Amen.
And yet God gave me less than what my iniquity deserved.
That's right.
And He's worthy to be thanked and praised for that.
Yeah.
And I just want to say publicly, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Something that, I guess we need to recognize it all the time. Philippians chapter 2, you don't think of Paul in this sense, at least I don't. If you look at verse 19, Paul says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Skip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and if you look at verse 9, he's speaking to Timothy here, and he says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." I just wanted to point out to you that in the last moments of Paul's life, he was lonely. He was by himself. Only Luke was sticking with him. And he had a need for other people to help him out. He was in great need of other people. And then I look at over here where he talks about Timothy. He's a special one. He's got this going for him. Then he talks about Epaphroditus. And look what he says about Epaphroditus. He says, "He's my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier and your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. And he prays for you all and he has such a heart for you all. And he got sick
And it was going to be hard for me. You know what you realize about Paul is that he was not a rock. He was not an island. He couldn't just do it all by himself. You think about Paul as like, you know, being the rock and never needing. But what's clear is he needed Timothy.
Amen.
He needed Epaphroditus. He needed the Thessalonians. He needed the Philippians. He needed Demas, and Demas forsook him. He needed Tychicus, but he had to send him. He needed Luke, and Luke says, I'll stay with you. And then he needed Timothy again. And he said, bring Mark, because I need Mark. You notice that? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I look at that in my life, and that's been me. You know, God did not send Paul alone.
Yeah.
He sent him with co-workers. People have been with him all along, just constantly helping him out. Somebody stood up and stepped up and filled the gap and did what had to be done. I want to thank the Lord for all of my co-workers over the years. And I've had a lot of co-workers. I don't know if I run them off or what, but I've had a lot of co-workers. I've got some in here with me now. Some of you have worked with me. We've preached on the streets together. We've done some amazing things together. We've got stories we can tell. Just get us going and we'll start telling you the stories because we remember them, Lord. When I was young, when I started giving my life to the Lord, I didn't have any real friends. Terry was about my only friend about that time. I was young and I wanted to serve God. And he was coming to the church, and he had just gotten saved. And so, you know, we tried to serve the Lord a little bit. But then, you know, God just brought in abundance of young people to the church. And all of a sudden, I had friends. I remember thinking, God, you know, how come it is I'm all alone here? And then God just filled me with friends, just all kinds of friends. And I didn't have a lonely moment. Not a lonely moment. And then I said, I'm going to be a missionary, and I got up and went. I left. And I gave up on all my plans. I didn't figure I'd get married. I didn't have the options. And I said, I'm not waiting any longer. And I know that was a little bit of a problem, but man, I'm telling you, 2 weeks before I went to the mission field, God gave me a wife. It's the one I wanted, too. She was the one I wanted. And God gave her to me. And then later on, God took her from me. And then God gave me another one. It's an amazing thing. I know I'm not going to go into it, but this was miraculous. This was something God did, providential. I know it, and tremendous. And when I was in Guatemala, I had coworkers. And when I was in Guadalajara, I had coworkers. And when I was in San Luis Potosí, I had coworkers. I had people that were there with me, and we were abundantly supplied with coworkers. And then when I went over to León, I had coworkers. And then Brent and Janice show up. I'm thinking, wow, they can't even speak Spanish, but they showed up and they said, you know, we're going to do it too. And I remember Eddie and Donna came down. And I'm telling you, we were just so full of coworkers. I know for a fact that I didn't do anything by myself. Everything that I did, everything that I was always built up and helped along by somebody on my side.
Amen.
It's amazing. I got co-workers over there in Freeborn Church. I got co-workers in Puebla right now. John stepping up to be with me. Joey over there in Warsaw. And I'm telling you, right now I've got Brian and I got Britt here, and my dad's always been there for me. I have never once had to serve God alone. Is that amazing or what? And it's good because I'm not real strong alone. I'm really not. I am not created to be alone. Even God said that. So I want to thank the Lord how He provided every single thing I need, especially provided me co-workers, somebody that could stand by me and help me along and even straighten me out sometimes. But no matter what it is, He never left me alone. Never even felt alone. God has always provided me with the kind of co-workers that I need.
Thank you. I wanted to thank the Lord too. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13. I think these are familiar verses, but they're very precious. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart." I think these are really special verses because, you know, at the very beginning of verse 11, I love that where it says,
I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. And you know what? That's precious. He thought of us.
Amen.
He was thinking of us. His thoughts were toward us, even though our thoughts weren't toward the Lord. His thoughts were toward us. And he says, thoughts of peace. You know, when we think of people that might know us, they may think peace toward us. But other people that don't know us or don't like us, they may not think that way. But God thought of them, of us. Thoughts of peace. And he said, not of evil. You know what? That's a special, precious Lord that thinks that way toward us. When we, what Brian was talking about, did not think those ways toward him when he first saved us. You know, in our thoughts, were our thoughts always wandering on our own selves, our own desires, and the things that we wanted, or things that were not right? You know, God thought of peace and not of evil. He says to give you an expected end.
Amen.
What was that end that he expected for us? I think it was something special. I want to say salvation.
Sure.
You know, salvation. Knowing him and that relationship that was broken years ago in Genesis. But, you know, he died for us on that cross so that we could have life, so we could have peace, so we didn't have those things that were supposed to be on us because of our sins. And then verse 12, it says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You know what? The Lord was listening all those times that we would call after him or cry unto him. He said to call on him, and he would hear us. And then he says he would hearken unto us. He would listen to those things that we had. And then 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart. You know, that's a special thing too, because so many times people are always saying, I'm seeking something, but I don't know what it is that I'm missing. That thing that was missing, you know, years ago, like I said, going back to Genesis, was that relationship with Jesus Christ. People are saying, was that emptiness? Was that spot? It's that loss of having that relationship that the Lord had for us to be with him and to have that relationship with him. And he says, you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search me with all your heart. You know, that's the first profession when it says to confess the Lord with what's in your heart, and it's going to come out of your mouth. And that's true, that he says to seek him, and then we're going to find him. And I'm glad I found him.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't want to cry. I tried not to. It's not going to happen. But, you know, I'm grateful, kind of what Janice was saying years ago. It was 1979. I got saved. I was 18 years old. And I didn't know the Lord. I grew up also in Catholicism. Grew up in a Catholic family, Catholics, Hispanics, and Catholics. Yeah, we're always together. You know, it goes together. That's part of our culture.
Yeah.
So growing up being a Catholic, I knew about Jesus. I knew what he did. But I didn't know everything. I didn't know the whole story. I didn't know why he had to die. And when I came to the church, Bernie Newman was the one that brought us. I grew up with Bernie. We were little girls. We grew up in the same neighborhood, me and my sisters. And that's how I learned about the church, through Bernie Newman. She brought us here, and I didn't really understand everything. When you first felt salvation, when you hear the word of God for the first time, don't understand it. It doesn't click.
Right.
Until you hear it several times. People hear it first time, get it. But I came here probably three times until I finally heard it. And then, of course, Janice and Brent came to my house, and I finally understood. I'm so grateful for this church, because it has helped me grow up, really. It helped me grow up, not just, you know, learning about the Lord, but helped me grow up spiritually. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
he was saying, grow up in this church. I remember her. I remember her mom. I mean, and that's part of what our family is. We grow together, and we learn from each other.
Yes.
And everyone has a gift here.
Yeah.
And they use that gift. Just like Billy said, he had all of those people working with him. and that's part of being that family. Even our children here learn, like Jason and Hannah and all of them, Connor, you know, Lily and Luna, all of these children are learning about the Lord. Brooklyn and these beautiful girls, Olivia, you know, and I hear these children in Sunday school. They are precious, and they were ready to hear God's word.
Amen.
And at that time, that's the most precious, right time to hear the gospel.
Right.
And if you can hear it when you're younger, how precious that is.
Amen.
When we get older, we kind of decline from that, and it's not our interest. But God came into my heart being 18 years old, and I was ready. I was ready to hear it. And I am so thankful for my husband, for my children that know the Lord, and for my sisters. And for my sisters in Christ here. I love you. I love Erica and Debbie and, you know, so many of these people. Linda and Janice and my beautiful Destiny, Gabby, and these beautiful girls. Mary, I see you growing up. My body, I love her, you know, and they know that they're precious to me. Debbie, all of you guys were there when I needed you, and I want to thank you for that. And no one can say that God is not in that. He is. And even my little Lori, I love her because she's the one I always tell Lori, Lori, you're the one that helped me start my Bible study. She was the one that was craving to hear God's word. And that's how we started. And I'm thankful for my beautiful daughters, I'd say, in Christ, and my sisters in Christ. And I'm so thankful for you, for Eddie and Donna, because they've always been there. I remember when we visited them in Mexico, how strong they were in God's word. And those children were only little. But I always told Donna, I could always hear Brian singing. He was always crazy and singing about God. But he was always moving and running and going everywhere. You know, but I am thankful for people like that, that went to give the gospel. And here we need it now, even more. And I just pray that God will have mercy on this country, and us as Christians will go and be able to continue the gospel no matter what. Thank you.
We stand and sing 452.
Angels and angels,
and they would have different people teaching about God, and they said, we want to be baptized. But after I said the sinner's prayer, that was before I even understood the gospel, and after I said the sinner's prayer, the girl tells me, now you're going to heaven. And I looked at her like, I was already going to heaven. What are you talking about? You know, in my mind, I was confused because I never heard the gospel. I just prayed the sinner's prayer before I knew what I was doing. And so they said, do you want to get baptized? I said, yes, of course. A baptism, that's a good word. You know, I'm going to do it. And so they said, but you have to get permission from your parents. My mom couldn't say yes. So we don't have to go ask her. She said, no, you got to. You have to. So I went to my mom and I said, can I go get baptized? And I'm like, waiting for yes. She said, no. No. What? But I thought you liked for us to be, you know, involved. She said, you have to know what baptism is about. And I was like,
sure.
I walked away confused. And I was like, wow. And so I'm thankful for those closed doors.
Sure. Yeah.
That could easily lead to a false religion,
yeah,
a false belief.
Right. You're right.
And so I was thinking how the Lord directed myself. In the Word, I read different verses that says, direct your heart toward the Lord. You know, direct. We have a responsibility to direct our hearts towards Him as well. But when you're lost, you don't direct your heart towards Him. And you don't even know how. You know, and so I was reading the scripture in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, where it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself.
Mm-hmm.
It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, for refuge. But with your judgment, not in thy anger, let thou bring me to nothing. And then when I did get saved, I finally went to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior, it was all clear to me. I'm like, wow, they made it so difficult, so simple, you know. And then I thank the Lord for that, because when we are saved, in Psalms chapter 23, this is what kind of direction He gives us. And this is where He leads us. And to nothing but blessing. So, in Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pastures. He made me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He led me in the path of righteousness for His name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so I was just thinking before that open door to Him, you know, once I did see, you know, the truth, and I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, for that. And then another point I wanted to make is that how He directed me. And when I finally accepted Him, it's blessings that I didn't deserve.
Yeah.
And so I just want to thank the Lord that when we hit like a hard time in our lives and we didn't know where we're going to go, we're going to go to church. You know, like, I know there's so many churches on every corner and so many false religions out there, you know. So where are we going to go? And even then, as a Christian, He continues to direct us. And He led us here, and it was a blessing because I was afraid, you know, I was afraid of getting messed up or, you know, conforming to something, I don't know, out there. But the Lord, He said, we don't have to fear. He's there with us, and He directed us here.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord is good.
Just real quick, game. Psalms 27, verse 10. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And it's a simple verse, but it's very significant to me. I can remember being a teenager, getting into all the trouble I did, and I can look back now and see that the Lord was there through all of it. He protected me, He led me. And I'm thankful that no matter what, I do have a Lord that I can rely on, that I can go to for anything. I'm thankful that He led me to this church, where I do have a family. Aside from, you know, mother and father, I have brothers and sisters here that
right.
I can go to for anything.
Amen.
I'm thankful that He used my lovely aunt here
to bring me to the church, to the gospel, that she used her awkward moment to reach me, and that you guys have welcomed me with open arms and been there through everything. And I just want to thank you guys, and I want to thank the Lord for being with me through all these
things. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
He is good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. I want to thank the Lord too. I'm inspired by that little phrase, little verse. And we spoke about the gifts of smelling and sizing. I recall being outside of El Paso, Texas, and smelling the desert after a rain. The most beautiful smell I ever smelled. And the desert probably waited 5 to 10 years for that rain. And there's a cactus that's called a centennial cactus, because it takes 100 years for it to bloom. It only blooms once every 100 years, I believe. And God created everything. Some things grow and die in the same day, and some things get planted and don't grow for 100 years. And I feel like my faith is that way, that I received the seeds of faith in 1974. And I had some fruit, some blossoms, but a lot of desert, dry, empty times. And now today I'm so grateful that I'm here and I'm hearing and I'm doing and I'm growing. I'm repenting and changing. And I have a little girl also raised in the Lord. And
yeah.
She sees me come to church a lot. She wouldn't have seen that a few years ago. But today I'm here, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
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 Amen. We want to give you a chance.
I will say, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Given to you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. And for everyone that asketh, receiveth him. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. I want to say thanks for all the people here at the church that have their arms out to me, not judging it from appearance, from background, but my will. And I want to thank God now for that to practice, and I ask.
And it's been my help, O God, and my salvation.
Amen. Give you one more chance. Anybody else like to get up?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I'd like to thank my parents.
Amen.
For all they've done for me. It's just incredible thinking. Like, usually you don't think about your parents. Blessing you. But they just, I'm so blessed that I have parents that believe, that led me down that track. Even right when I was little, to where I'm here today.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can we sing another song, 31? Yes.
31 in the supplement?
Yes.
Let's sing it again.
And watch the sunset, and the
It's in Romans 13 about giving honor to whom honor. Custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor unto whom honor. And obviously this is a Thanksgiving meeting to the Lord, but I do want to thank, I don't have a lot of family here, but I want to thank Brother Lindell for the legacy that he did leave to his family. And for the legacy that you've left to my family, having led my father to the Lord and teaching my mother throughout the years, you had an influence on my brothers, and you've had a great influence on my life. I remember when Brett and I first got married back in 78. I'm not sure of the year now, but it was either 79 or 80. I think Leslie was just born. Brett and I were sitting over in their living room, Lindell and Bernie, and we were talking about all the good times that we've had and the people that have gone through this church. And we didn't have that many years of experience at that time, but wouldn't it be great if we could have a meeting where everybody came back together? You know, because in the beginning, this church was a military church, and we had a lot of young men that came in and women that came out and left, and wouldn't it be great? And this is how this meeting started back in the early 80s. And to me, it's just gotten sweeter as the years on. I haven't been to a lot of them, being in you know, away from here. But the legacy that our Christian heritage, no matter if we're blood family or we're, you know, blood of Christ, we're family, and there's no greater thing. But back to this verse about giving honor to whom honor. I want to thank you, my husband, for being the faithful, godly man that you've been throughout the years. People have thought he's crazy, weird, strange, zipper. I mean, he's been called every name in the book, and he's been called some ugly names from people that he's led to the Lord. And yet he remains faithful, and I'm honored to be your wife.
Amen.
I'm thankful, and I want to give honor to my four children, Leslie, Jason, Corey, and Cassidy, because they were never called to the mission field, but Mom and Dad were, and they never said a word outwardly, and they've been faithful. And thank you, Leslie. Thank the Lord for having given us four children, and not just the children, but their spouses. Every one of them have been saved. Every one of them are saved, and they're leading their children in the Lord and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to my Lord for having that mercy upon me and our family. I'm thankful for our sisters that were going out door tagging and having a Thursday Bible study. Your faithfulness of getting the word out. And I remember two years ago in 18, we were over at Tammy's for a Bible study after evangelizing it. And we were saying, what can we do? What can we do? And it was kind of talked about, we're going to choose a woman in the church, a younger woman, a young mother, a young wife, and start mentoring them. And I was like, oh, that's going to be good. That sounds really good, but I'm going back to Poland. And before I went back to Poland, God saved this girl. Through his mercy, he brought her out of stuff that She's been in my family for 22 years, but I never had the opportunity to know her, to get to know her, and to have been given the privilege to mentor her. It has been amazing because I've seen God's grace, and I've seen how God has taught me through her, and how he's bringing our family together, how cousins are now knowing cousins, and hopefully that brothers and sisters and other cousins will be coming together. But even if he doesn't, even if our family, physical family, doesn't come together, God has been in the midst of all of it. And he is blessed, and he has worked, and he has dealt. And I mean, it's whenever you're away, we were away, and we'd come back, and my brothers would say, "You need to come back here. We need you. You know, what about your family? What about your people?" And it was always hard going back to the mission field because I had family here. And yet, the mission field was never hard in the sense my family, my children, my husband, we were all together. But when they came back, and then they were living here, and then we would have to leave, it was always hard because I saw the state of my blood family and not being close with the Lord and not walking with the Lord and then leaving it and leaving our children. It was always hard, but yet knowing God was there. God was working in them, even if I wasn't, because it's not me working, it's the Lord working and his Spirit working in them. And that's, Eddie, you have a wonderful legacy. All of you Kincaids have a wonderful legacy, and you're passing down that legacy. But it didn't stop with your father. He touched us too. And our goal is to one day see more Sprigs in this church than Kincaids. And, I know God's able. I know he's able. But, you know, I think we tend too often to forget who deserves a little thanks. Who deserves a little praise? You know, God deserves it all. But I'm thankful for you, Brother Mendel. I'm thankful for you and Verlene. I kind of regret, no, it's not the word, miss. I wish I would have had the opportunity to work again with Verlene as an adult, as a, maybe I'm hopefully a little wiser, older woman now. Then I had the 5-6 years with her when I was a young Christian. But she left her legacy in my life as well. She left her legacy in her children. And to see Susanna here today has blessed my heart. To see your children with me, it's blessed my heart. Thank you guys for being here. Bill and Debbie. Lord, what can I say about you too? I love you guys. I love your children. Your children are one of my children. And Eddie and Donna, to have the opportunity again to work with y'all, to be a part of the same church again as older, a little bit more mature people, to appreciate what you have, what God has given y'all, and your parents, Donna. The Shriners. Glorious. Having a Bible study with you, Terry and Kim, and your children. Tara, I appreciate you. All of you. All of you, I love you. I thank the Lord. And, you know, maybe we just need to get back to telling each other how much we appreciate each other and how much we love each other. Just for the faithfulness of knowing situations that have been hard and difficult and you want to give up, and yet somebody's come and said, "Don't give up, it's worth it. Just keep going. Just hang on." Brother Lindell's favorite thing that he used to say is when times get tough, your rope gets slippery, you just tie a knot on the end of it and hold on. And sometimes that's all we can do is just tie a knot and hold on, because it does get better. And but this verse is just, it's touched me today hearing everyone's testimonies, and even you new people that haven't been around as much, you know. Oh, there's blessed times, and we've had good times and we've had bad times, but God has been in the midst of all of them. And I just thank render therefore to all their dues. And I thank each and every one of y'all for the blessings, your faithfulness to us on the mission field, your warmth of letting us come back in. And Judy, I remember the night we went to your house and you got saved. I told Britt, she's not interested. She's not interested. And just the sweet easiness of you accepting the Lord. It was beautiful in your family. And I just want to thank all of y'all for who you are today.
I just want to up and bring us, Father, I want to bring another word. There is a blessing. That's why I'll give all the honor and glory to the Lord for this, because in Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, I've sinned, but I come short of the glory of God. That's what I need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, by the grace of God, not myself. Or nobody, the grace of God.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing that blesses and blots us from all our sins. You know, and I give all the honor and glory to him, because if it was not for Jesus Christ, I would not be here.
That's right.
Yeah. I would not be, I'll be out there in the street and in and around this camp, but I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he showed me the way.
Amen.
They say, I had a big hole, but who can cover that hole? Not my family. They can encourage me, you know, but I need somebody better than my family.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ who covered this hole and showed me the way, you know, like say, Abide and not see. That's right. But let me tell you something. I was blind, you know, but the Lord removed that blindness from me in the light.
Right.
Yeah, I was in darkness, and like I said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another day, who has sent forth to be able to bathe in his blood. Now, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right.
Not my blood, his blood, cleanses us. Cleanses from all sins. That's why the Lord said, what did he say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what I give all the honor and glory to the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for my presence, you receiving us with your open arms. And I want to give thanks.
Amen. Let's close out the meeting with Psalm 100.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Sing it like you mean it.
Are you thankful?
Yeah, I am. I call Psalm 100.
Yeah. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
We'll be right back.
You can still thank the Lord tonight.
Yeah.
Great.
The parking lot meeting next Sunday.
Yes.
True. And this is the end of the month. If you've got an offering, join us quick.
Oh,